Well, today's Open the Book story, and the Gospel reading are linked by several things, really. Firstly, by Moses, who appears in both. So thank you to Michael for being Moses for us today. And also, if we think about the part of the Open the Book story when Moses goes up the mountain to speak to God, they're linked by people going up mountains. It is sometimes said of times that we feel close to God that we have experienced a mountaintop experience. And this is certainly true of Moses if we read in Exodus chapter 24, where Moses came down Mount Sinai carrying the two stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant. He wasn't aware that his face had become radiant because he had spoken to the Lord. So when Aaron and the people of Israel saw the radiance of Moses' face, they were afraid to come near him. Now, we didn't have that detail in our Open the Book story, which does cover a lot of the book of Exodus in quite a short space of time. After his mountaintop experience, spending time with God, so much time, in fact, that his face shone, Moses comes back to the Hebrews, who are still grumbling. But though he met God on the mountaintop, God was still with him down in the valley, with the grumbling people God chose him to lead. Our gospel reading also has people going up a mountain. Now, when a reading starts about 8 days later, I always think it's worth looking back to see what happened 8 days before. Looking back at the previous verses, what happened was that Jesus had told his disciples that he will suffer and die when they get to Jerusalem. The passage we heard from Luke, which Richard read today, known as the Transfiguration, is in all three of what are called the Synoptic Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are three very similar Gospels, and they're called Synoptic because they have like a synopsis, an overview of the life of Jesus. And in all three, it's preceded by the same events about Jesus telling his disciples of his impending arrest, suffering, and death. This tells us, therefore, that this is a very significant event in the life of the disciples and of Jesus. When Moses went up the mountain to meet with God, he came down with his face radiant and shining. When Jesus went up the mountain, he became dazzling white, and Moses and Elijah met with him. Some writers see this event as Jesus reassuring his disciples that he is the fulfillment of the law, represented by Moses, and we saw him getting the law on the mountain with God in our story, but also the fulfillment of the prophets, represented by Elijah. This is a reassurance the disciples need after Jesus telling them of the events that would unfold in Jerusalem. See how tired Peter, James, and John are. They fall asleep, presumably while Jesus is praying. Thankfully, though, they wake up in time to witness the amazing events there on that mountaintop. Those lovely words, when they woke up, they saw Jesus' glory. William Barclay, writing in his commentary on Luke, has some thoughts on this part of the event. He says, "In life, we miss so much because our minds are asleep." He goes on to list some things that cause our minds to be asleep. Things like prejudice, mental lethargy, the love of ease. I liked his description of prejudice. He says, we may be so set in our way, in our ideas, that our minds are shut. A new idea knocks on the door, but we are like sleepers who will not awake. What a glorious event in the life of Jesus we would have missed if Peter, James, and John had not woken up. We would not have known that Jesus met with Moses and Elijah and that they were glorious to see and they were speaking about his exodus from this world, which was about to be fulfilled in Jerusalem. After they came down the mountain, the next day, again in all three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Synoptic Gospels, the man whose only son has a spirit who attacks him had brought his son to the who were unable to help him. They were right back into the valley, all the difficulties of the world crowding around them again after their mountaintop experience. One of the things that I found most enjoyable about my secondary school was the annual fell walking holiday that some of the teachers organized. They took about 30 boys away for a week each year. We alternated between the Lake District, Snowdonia, and the Yorkshire Dales, a different one each year. Now, this was probably the first time I'd walked up mountains, and since then I've always enjoyed getting to the summit and walking along the top on a ridge or a line of summits. Inevitably, much as I liked being on the top of the mountains and the ridges, we had to come back down into the valley. The hostels we stayed at were all at the bottom of the hills, not the top. In fact, those two pictures are very old slides from my time when I was a lad on those fell walking holidays. I forget exactly which area they are, but that's when they date from. Moses goes up the mountain to meet with God. Peter, James, and John go up the mountain with Jesus and meet Moses and Elijah. Wonderful mountaintop experiences. But they did not stay up the mountain. They came back down to the valley, to the problems of life, in the same way that I love walking up mountains, I had to come back down them, back to normal life. We cannot stay at the top of the mountain with God. But remember that Jesus comes back down the mountain with Peter, James, and John. Jesus is with us in the midst of all of life's difficulties and difficulties. I remember many years ago, before I even met Jenny, I went on holiday to a Christian Guild hotel in the Forest of Dean. It's not there anymore, it's actually in the Wye Valley. And I remember I was coming home and I packed the car and I drove to a lovely little spot in the Forest of Dean. And it was autumn time. And it was so quiet I could hear the leaves falling off the trees. It was beautiful. And I just thought of that and know that I am God. Am I having trouble with my mic, Terry? Okay. I thought I was dropping in and out. Okay, lovely, thank you very much. Repeat what?
That's where you dropped out.
Oh, okay, I dropped out. I was in the Forest of Dean, remember? Oh, it's lovely. It's a really nice place. The leaves were falling from the trees.
You
were all there with me. It's lovely, isn't it? And yeah, you just hear the trees, leaves falling down. And I remember that voice, be still and know that I am God. I mention that now because that for me was, although I wasn't up a mountain, it was kind of like a mountaintop experience. It was an experience of being close with God. And that's an experience I can remember later on in life's struggles. I can think, no, I do remember that, you know, I kind of met with God there in that way. And I wonder, it says at the end of the gospel reading, the disciples didn't tell anybody about what happened. But I wonder if that experience sustained them through the difficulties of going to Jerusalem. And all that we remember as we go through Lent and into Easter. And maybe that is another reason why Jesus gave them that experience. So our mountaintop experiences can sustain us when we're in the valleys. Tom Wright, another one of my favourite commentary writers, he makes the point that the disciples were overwhelmed by the transfiguration and blurted out things they didn't mean. Was Peter trying to keep Jesus, Moses, and Elijah there permanently by making three shelters? He goes on to say, we, too, often find it completely bewildering to know how to understand all that God is doing and saying, both in our times of great joy and our times of great sadness. But the word that comes to us, leading us on to follow Jesus even when we haven't a clue what's going on, is the word that came from the cloud on that strange day in Galilee. This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. He also writes about the transfiguration. Here, then, is part at least of the meaning of the transfiguration. This time the word goes out to all people. This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. The hearts, the lives, and perhaps even the faces of those who hear and obey will be transformed, whether they realize it or not. As we go through life, let us trust in Jesus, both when we are on the mountaintop and in the valley. And as God tells Peter, James, and John to do, we should always be listening to him, being open to new experiences and new ideas. Whether we feel we are on the mountaintop or in the valley, our calling as followers of Jesus is to trust him and obey his commandments. In this way, we are transformed into his likeness and bring light to the dark places of the world. Today, Jesus might want to lead us to a mountaintop to help us to see his glory, to give us an experience of him like I had in the Forest of Dean that will sustain us in our lives as we seek to obey and trust him. Or he may want to lead us into a dark valley, taking his light with us as we go, sharing it with all we meet in the valley, bringing his light into the darkness. When we find ourselves in a dark valley, it is good to remember those comforting words from Psalm 23. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me, your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. I'm sure you will, like me, consider the people of Ukraine to be in a dark valley now. And the archbishops of the Church of England have invited Christians to make today a day of prayer for the Ukraine, Russia, and peace. And the Pope, I think, has put aside next Wednesday as another day of prayer. Oh, Worldwide Baptist Union tomorrow as well.
3 o'clock.
Okay, thank you. So we've thought about mountaintops, we've thought about valleys. And so now there is time for you to reflect on the thoughts that I have shared with you, to reflect on where you feel you are now, on the mountaintop or in the valley, and where you think Jesus might be leading you. Or, as we just talked about Ukraine, you may want to silently pray for the situation in Ukraine as we spend some quiet moments together. Thank you. Amen.